This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
To you, Father, we thank you. We thank you, our Father. We bless you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for mercies that you have shown us, your faithfulness, for you are full of faith indeed towards us. We honor you, Lord. We bless you. We give you praise, Lord. We commit ourselves to you again as we look into your word. We ask for help. Help to hear. Help to see. We ask for understanding in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will bring blessing to us in the name of Jesus. I ask that you will help me to fetch out that which will be a blessing to your people. Help me to serve you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for another day to be here. It's a privilege and always a blessing to encourage ourselves, you know, in the Word of God and to steer ourselves up again. And we thank God for this privilege of looking into the life of Christ, the embodiment of what made him. And in it, we will see our own making. I believe that we've been blessed so far. We've been encouraged. We've been steered up. We've been persuaded again, you know, to follow, you know, the Lord. One of the things I know the Lord will do to every one of us as we listen, you know, is that, you know, we will be steered up again, you know, in faith in our hearts. We thank God. The last times we've met, I think one of the things that was emphasized a lot was the place of hearing, and we saw that, you know, as a believer, you know, it is important that, you know, we give heed to hearing. And we did say that if we are going to talk faith, because we started trying to gradually go into faith, we can't talk faith without hearing. Romans 10:17 was very clear. He says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our ears is one major component that is tied to a whole lot of things about our functionality as a believer. Even a dead man must not lose his ears. Amos 3:12. If the shepherd can take out of the mouth of the lion, you know, two legs and a piece of ear, there will be deliverance, you know. As long as, you know, they can still get from us pieces of ear. Because I know the last time we did emphasize that place of laboring to hear. But you know, even scientific researchers confirm the last senses that leave a dying man is his ears. And that's why even for palliative care, healthcare professionals, even people who are at, let's say, last stage of dying, they will tell them, you can keep talking to them, keep playing their favorite music, keep reading to them, you know, you because they said it gets to them. Even though they cannot respond, that sound is very familiar. It's a familiar voice that gives them a level of comfort. When somebody wants to pass out, one of the things you keep doing is to constantly keep talking to the person. Because hearing, I'm just trying to say that the issue of our hearing, we cannot joke with it. I think one of the things that leaves the senses, you know, apart from hunger, taste and smell, I think there's also speech will go, vision will go, touch will go before hearing. You know, that's how it is, you know, how the senses go. And honestly, if you've ever been close to somebody who is about to, you know, leave his body. You see, oh, they've stopped eating. They cannot see again. They cannot talk, you know. But hearing is one of the last things. So even a dead man must not lose his hearing. The dead shall hear. Now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. So, you know, you see that hearing. And what Satan, you see, the moment your hearing is gone, destruction is here.
Yeah.
Now, Satan did not only kill a believer, he did not only kill the whole world, you know, bring death. Satan also tampered with hearing. And that's why some believers will have itching here, dull here, dull of hearing. It's also, you can see that hearing in shades. So even at in our death states, in our hearing must go, when, you know what was amazing? When Adam and Eve, when they sinned and they heard of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could see hear the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. They labored to keep that hearing. They labored to keep that hearing. I'm just trying to say that, you know, even when you see unbelievers, they still have ears.
Yeah.
Unbelievers still have ear. Yeah. You know, even when we become believers, one of the things we must get good is in our hearing. We must keep fine-tuning that hearing. Unbelievers still have ear. The moment hearing goes from a man, dead or alive, that man is in destruction. Yoruba will say, Aja toba ma sonu, kungbo fere olode, that is the dog that will go into destruction or perish, who doesn't hear the whistle of the hunter. You see, you know, young people, they have this bunku bunku, they just don't want to hear. But you must know that what makes, you know, just you talk to them, you just they feel they know everything. You see, that attitude just shows that you are hearing something else. That attitude shows that what?
You are hearing something else.
So I said a dead man must not lose his hearing, because it is hearing that will bring you to life. The dead bones, you know, it was still, this is, you know, that bones, those bones have here. So just to say that hearing is not even the biological ear, that every part of man is an embodiment of hearing. Your body, your soul, your spirit. That faculty, every sense we see in our physical being, I perceive strongly that is attached to even to our inward parts, you know, our hidden parts. They prophesy to bones. They say, say unto them. So that means bones have ears.
Yeah.
Bones have ears. Bones have ears and they can hear. A dead bone, no, that does not show. So I'm just saying that the issue of hearing is a, how will I call it, it is a mandatory for any living being. It's not even for every believer. For anything that has breath is mandatory. Even, can I also say that even mountains have ear? Say to this mountain, be thou removed. I'm just trying to say that mountain, you know, mountains have ear. So it means that it's not even one living beings. Every created thing has ears.
Yes,
yes, they have here. You know what came to my mind is when Joshua told the sun to stand still. So even the sun has ears. Creation has ears. You know? So it's not even only sitting with us that are living. Hearing, it's an important aspect. We don't just hear once, even at new birth. We keep hearing. We must continue to hear, you know, and, you know, even the communication of faith, because we've said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
By the word of God.
There's no Christ life series without faith. In Romans 10:14, he says, how can they, so, you know, because we are still going to go to this confession, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, my brothers and sisters, even our journey, you know, to being, to receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, started with hearing. We must hear. And you see, hearing for some people, I need to say that it's not everybody that they are receiving Jesus that their experience was dramatic. You know, some came to a church or came to a meeting and they ministered Jesus, they heard and they believed and they confessed with their mouths, you know, and believed in their hearts. You know, some people, it's abundance of hearing. Some people have been going to church. They were, in fact, their pregnancy came from church, you know. You know, I, of course, you know that you were born into a Christian family does not make you a believer. Your parents, we know, we are Christians, does not make you a believer. That you go to church does not make you a believer. You know, that experience is an experience that's on your own. You must come into it consciously. You know, and you know, it's not everybody. Some people, amount of hearing. Some people, especially if you are from a faith family, your parents have probably been going to church. You have been hearing all your life. Is it that hearing? You have been hearing that you have not come into the consciousness of receiving the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's why some people might not be able to categorically say, oh, this was the day I gave my life to. Because some people can tell you the day. In fact, some people do the anniversary of the day that they gave their life. But some people, they heard them to believing. They heard them to confess. They kept hearing,
yeah.
You know, and it's okay. I just want to say, because I know one of the issues that happen to believers and new birth, oh, you don't know whether you are born again or not. By hearing, but what you will know is that even if your state was that continuous exposure to hearing by church, is that you will come to a place where you genuinely, intentionally, in your awareness, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Even those that have, some people say, oh, I was just in my room, nobody preached to me. But how did you know that it was the Lord? There was a hearing. Some people must have been hearing from the loudspeaker. I'm just trying to say that, you see, when it comes to the issue of confessing and believing, you know, it's important that what? We do what? We hear. It's important that we hear. So there's no, even a dead man must not lose his hearing. I just want to say this. So if a dead man must not lose his hearing, how much more they who are quickened? And hearing is not just one of. If Jesus can talk about dull of hearing, if Jesus, you know, yeah, if Jesus can say that my sheep knows me and hear my voice. So one thing that we come to, even a dead man, you hear and you continue to hear. You see, that hear is one sense that you must never lose. Hearing is a sign of life. It's a sign that you are interested in life. It's a sign that, you know, you are interested in living. It's a show. One thing Satan has done, Satan knows that he cannot really tamper with hearing of creation. But what he has done is to provide other things that a soul can hear, can give it to. What will not make you hear the issue of life is because you are also hearing, you are hearing something else. See, all this gospel, you see that thing? I just also want to drop a caution. You know, some of us, even believers genuinely, sometimes we see people on the road doing morning cry, afternoon cry, evening cry, with their megaphone, saying, give your life. If there's anything that makes you irritated or angry, go and check it. No, I'm just saying that be very careful of how you get irritated when you are hearing the word of God in any measure, on the streets or in any way, or they give you tracts and you are just going to throw it away. I'm saying that when it comes to here, we need to be very cautious. Even those of us in term that claim or think we have a knowledge of God more than others. And sometimes you hear some messages that be very, very careful that you don't cast disdain or aspersion on hearing in any measure, especially anything that has to do with our Christian faith. So he said, who are the... So we've seen that a dead man must hear, okay? A dead man must hear. A dead man must hear. A dead man must not lose his ears. Because the way we come to any measure of life in Christ, the journey starts by hearing. And our state was very clear. He said, you at he quickened. We were what? Dead where? In trespass and what?
Sin.
And sin. Where in time past we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the spirit of the spirit. If you go to that Ephesians 2, I think 4 to 5 too, say we're dead in sin and trespass. So I'm just trying to say, you are weak, quickened. This was our state. This is the state where every man on earth starts from. And we were dead in sin and what? Trespass. Even when we're dead in sin and trespass, this scripture are scriptures that as a believer, you know, you must be accustomed to. I'm just saying because, you know, we have a lot of Christians who never went through the passage of, you know, born again. I'm not even familiar with some scripture of what they claim to be. But God who is rich in mercy, that's Ephesians 2 from 4, say for his great love, where it what? So have you seen this looks like John 3:16? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave. I'm just trying to say what propels the Christ life, what runs it is love. is the love of God towards man, towards his creation. You know, the propellants of any life that we are claiming. We call it the love story. It's a story of love. And, you know, it was actually a very solo love. God loving people who are loveless, who hate him. Just so know that we were not only dead, we hate him. We are enemies of God, you know, because God is life. We were dead. So death is enemy of life. How will I say? So there was no way there could be no, like, and when you say death, death is not a dropping of the body alone. Death is something, is a separation. Death is that thing that pulls you away. Not only pulls you away, kills you, pulls you away, and starts you on a journey to destruction. So, you know, there was a way that our tangent with God and man could never meet. But it was God that pursued man. You know? It was God that pursued man. It was God that pursued man. You see that thing we even say we gave our life to Christ. They helped us to give our life to Christ. You know? It's just a love story that is, you know, that every day when we, as a believer, you know, it's one of the thoughts that should wake you up. The love of God towards you. You say, but God, who is rich in mercy? So one of the things God is rich in is mercy, you know? And he's rich in mercy, you know? And that's why the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. You know, great is his faithfulness. Great is his love towards us. You know, his mercies, yesterday's mercies are gone forever. Today's mercies are new. You know, just so, you know, there's an aspect that everyone that will be quickened must, this knowledge of his love, this knowledge of the richness of his mercy towards us must be communicated to us. See, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were what? Dead in what? Sins. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Okay? And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you can see what the components of Christ did for us at new birth. You know, the component that makes up the newness of our spirit was a component that is in Christ. It was Christ Jesus, you know, had raised us up together, you know, and made us sit together in heavenly places. Now, a lot of people have claimed this to say we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Yes, we are seated, but in actual fact, we are not totally seated. You know, we are seated, but not totally seated. You know, because if you read down, you see that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to all us through who again? Christ Jesus. I'm just trying to say, when we talk about the Christ life, it is not a life, it is not a life in any measure. It's a life that journeys to the regions of death to bring a quickening in the spirit first. For by grace you are saved through what? Faith. You know, that not of yourself, it is the gift of what? God. That not any man will not boast. So, why we are saying we are not totally seated in heaven, we say, for we are his what? Workmanship. That is, we are still work in progress. We have been created in Christ Jesus. Yeah. When you say unto, unto means towards. Okay. You know, towards good works. Mm. So, our creation, the new creation in our spirit, was created towards what? A good works. Unto, which God has done what? Had ordained that we should what? Walk in them. So, there's still a walking to be done before the fullness of ourselves can be seated in heavenly places, you know, in Christ Jesus. You know, it's good you know this state. I'm telling you, being pious, being religious. I've been obeying all the commandments. I've been doing all this. I'm a church worker. Hey, I've seen church workers who have not given their life to Christ. I remember as a young lady, we volunteer when there are meetings, big meetings, crusades and all that. And, you know, while volunteering, you know, in one of those meetings, you know, a man of God came to minister. And, you know, there was so much, you know, ministration. And lo and behold, when people were supposed to, you know, altar call was made and people came out. And then I remember one usher there, and the pastor, one of the coordinators of the program, felt that, oh, the usher was coming to assist, you know, with, you know, when people give their lives to Christ, usually then there are people that surround. The guy said, no, sir, I want to give my life to Christ. So I'm just saying that in our churches today, we have people who have never, ever, ever experienced. They've never, ever experienced that, you know, they've not experienced that walking. You know, I'm just saying, you're doing religious works, humanitarian service does not make you come to the experience of being quickened. You know, there's an acknowledge that, you know, and Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is what? Through who?
Christ.
So you see that when it comes to that issue of quickening, there is the Jesus Christ. And who is Christ? The Messiah. Who is Christ again? You know, our Savior. Is Messiah, is Savior. You know, so the wages of sin is death. And sin has wage. I just want to talk about this. You know, sin has wages it pays. And have you seen, I'm sure most of you, it's lunchtime, you're all looking towards, you know, your salaries. This is mid, you know, your salaries and all. But, you know, you are getting a wage for a work done. For the wages of sin is death. So what sin moves and will bring every man to is death. Is death. Now, people say in Genesis 1:3, when he said, the day you hit this, you shall surely die, that they were still breathing, but they died.
Yes.
They died so much that what remained was Yahia.
Oh.
It was just Yahia. They died.
Oh.
There was a wedge. Because the only thing they could know was just that here.
Yeah.
There has been a separation. Because how will you know? See the question. Say, Adam, where are you? You are not where I placed you. You are not where you ought to be. There was a place that is man had journeyed to death at that instance that even God was looking for him. That voice had to come and look for him. That voice was love. The voice of the Lord walking, you know, that was love coming to man. Adam, where are you? You know, even you, Otiku, yeah, this one is dead.
Amen.
So the state, and that was a wage. So the wage that sin pays. And you see, excuse me, I want to talk to believers that still indulge in some works. You are not wise when you think that when you involve in the works manifestation of things that you will not pay the wage. There's wage. Sin has wage, he pays to every man. And that wage is death. And that's why there's no manifestation or expression of the works of sin that the deliver does. It's not leading to death.
Wow.
That's it. Everything is leading somewhere. And it's death. And please, this death is not dropping of the body. This death is dropping of the soul, dropping of the spirit. And you see Romans 3:23. I'm just saying this scripture. These are scripture that we should be familiar with. He said, for all have sinned, I'm come short of the glory. Let's read 23. Yeah. Short of the glory of God. What is that calling short? That's a death. That's a limitation. That's a barrier. He said, being justified freely by what? His grace through the redemption that is in who? So you see, when it comes to the quickening, what brings for that quickening anew is Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of him which believeth. So you can see we are not just justified at new birth. There's still a justification that comes to those that believe. Hallelujah. And we've seen Romans 10 was very clear. Romans 10 was very, very clear, you know, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto towards salvation. Okay? For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, that's why, you see, today, he said both to the Greek and Gentile, the love of God is towards all men, is rich towards all. And if they call upon him, they shall be what? They shall be saved. You know why? At the end, maybe or when a believer goes to heaven, you know there's some people that in your mind, they are enemies of God. In your mind, they've done strong things, even to you. Why a believer must grow in forgiveness and letting go is because that same person that caused you that unforgiveness pain will be with God, will be your brethren. Don't be out of place. The worst people that have caused us pain today, if they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. A victim that was killed by a murderer, by somebody, if that somebody calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. You know, that thief by the right hand of Jesus. Yeah. Imagine, maybe he didn't only steal, he killed self. And maybe he stole from an Israeli, a Jew. And that one has, you know, a thief. But see where he met Jesus. Uh-huh. Right at the point of his leaving his body. And our Lord Jesus told him, today. Hey, you see, when you hear these things, today, you now wonder that, is he ignorant of what the guy has done? You don't know what pain he has caused. And he says, today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, the love of Jesus, I just want to say this, the love of Jesus is to every man, Jew, Gentile, every man. The worst of men. And that's why I want to talk to people who have gone through things. Things have happened to you. Men have hurt you. You have been traumatized. Don't just, as a believer, you should heal. And heal. You know, there's a lot of therapy to help your healing. Facing your abuser. Facing that abuser, if he gives life to Jesus Christ, has become your brother. That's why you shouldn't stay there. You should trust he who has, he says, is there no balm in Gilead? To allow that balm to heal you and come to wholesomeness. Because the way God sees every man is that they are dead in sin. There's nothing you can do to a dead man. He's just dead. Dead man. But you that have been quickened, don't unlive. Don't be unquickened. Or be unalive. And you know, be dead and be a vampire. You are moving, but you carry all manners of debt. So I'm saying that the issue of being quickened starts with, you know, it's amazing how, I was just thinking about it, that our being quickened starts with the body. Our ear and our mouth. You hear, you confess, then it journeys to belief. That's your heart, your soul. And then salvation to your spirit. Like that's, you know. So, firstly, we confess to believe. Wow. Yes, that was because of the fall. But in creation, it was the spirit and soul that were created first. Yeah. Before the body that was formed. But in coming, you must, just like your mouth, you must open it. Oh. You must believe. And if you say, what of a mute person? A mute person. So, you know, we've talked about when it comes to hearing and speaking, it's not so physical. A mute person, you know, back then in school, used to have, there was a special education class that there were people who had speech impairments. And, you know, we went for a gathering. If you see the way they were gisting, you know, and they were there writing, laughing. That day I knew that actually speech is not with your physical mouth. They were just in, and even me, they will write and tell me this. We will laugh. And I say, what is happening here? So the mouth, you know, you must confess him with your mouth. You must believe, and then you are saved. Now, that belief, at new birth, we believe. Belief is a component in faith. Belief is a component in faith. So it means at new birth, there's a measure of faith that at new birth that we receive. Belief is a component in faith. And you see that issue of belief. I see it as a prelim to any faith measure. You know what they call us? They call us believers. You will believe and believe to the saving of the soul. I'm just trying to say, you see that belief, when you're saying have faith, belief is, like I said, a component in faith. After belief, we continue to have faith in the Lord Jesus. So if you read the account of Acts, I'm just trying to lay, I felt I should just talk a bit about this before we can go into, you know, faith. You know, that Acts chapter 2, when Apostle Peter you know, gave a speech and said, and they gladly received, you know, his word. They that gladly received were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in preaching. So the issue of hearing, believing, you know, does not stop at new birth. You continue. What were they say? Continue steadfastly. That means they continued hearing steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine and what? Fellowship. And that brought them into what? Faith. So you see this process, they could term it as faith. So we can now understand Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, to all the saints. So there was what was heard at the point of believing. You know, you believe, you know, as I said, believe is a measure in faith. You believe faith in that faith is a person. Now, when we say faith, what is faith? You know, faith. It's a faith in. When you say faith in, say it is an unconditional trust and dependence in the person and the words. When you say faith in the Lord Jesus, it's an unconditional what? Trust and dependence in the person of our Lord Jesus and in the words of our Lord Jesus. One of the things faith will do is to make your soul come to a place where you love the things of Jesus more than any vanity. So faith in, when you say I have faith, some people have faith in their godfathers. I have faith in my uncle. Some people have faith in their parents. They have faith that once he has given his word is his word. They have faith in the person. You know, so to someone you say you have faith, that faith in came as a result of what happened to you at new birth. There was one you met, our Lord Jesus. We met our Lord Jesus. You see, why our Lord Jesus is our Lord indeed. Because when the love of the Father was coming to us, it came in the person of his Son. Bible says, what God so and gave. He came as a gift. Our Lord Jesus is a gift. He's a gift to what? To the world. You know, the Holy Ghost is a gift to believers. The Holy Ghost is a gift to believers. But our Lord Jesus is a gift to the world. He's a gift to every man. When they say he's a gift, he's a gift to what? Every man. It's a gift to every man. And so when he was that gift, when we were accepting, you know, the issue of salvation, the issue of believing came through him. It is him we believe. We don't believe in any other God. And please, you know, I learned years back in school that you very be careful of when people say they believe. Some people, please be careful that it's not a man that they are believing in. You'll be amazed though. They say, I'm a believer. What are you believing? What is he believe? You understand? All of us, we are believers. What is the belief? Because for you as a believer, for us, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Our Lord and our Savior. You know, it's not, oh, Jesus. The man, Jesus, the Word of God that became flesh, dwelt among us, lived among us, grew among us, came to every desire and every work of God in the days of his flesh, Jesus. So when you say our Lord Jesus, sometimes we need to know who this Lord Jesus is. Who this Lord Jesus, the one that became a babe. He became a babe in the days of his flesh, became every state of life. You know, I like to tell our young people, you know, one beautiful thing about the life of our Lord Jesus is that he didn't draw from the sky. We have religions that what they believe draw from the sky. What we believe was born in the technology of man. Because when man was without strength, the Bible says what? Christ died. When man was without strength, man needed a savior. Man needed, Jesus is not only, I don't know, beyond superhero. Jesus is our, what else can we call Jesus? He's our Savior. He came to save man. Because you see, man was not only dead. Man was in the grasp of another. The adversary of God, Satan, devil, the one cherub that fell, had man in his grasp. So man needed a Savior. Man needed a Savior. And there are laws of saving. When it comes to saving, because what Satan came to do, he came by it. By deceit and deception. He took that place because man was created to rule the earth. The earth was created for man. But Satan, by deception, no man gave him that privilege. Gave him, man, gave it to him. That was what man gave him access. What he did to man? He didn't know only steal from man. He went on to kill and wants to bring man to destruction. So man needed a savior. And that savior was in the person of our Lord Jesus. Now, you see, Jesus is a competent savior. Jesus is not a savior by mouth. You know, they are savior. He's not savior by muscles. He's a savior by what he became. You see, where he traveled to. I'm just trying to say, when it comes to saving, when we come to saving a man or a soul, you know, there's no depth of hell. I don't know what hell you are in. I don't know where you have journeyed. But you see, when you call Jesus savior, he's a savior who has journeyed to the depth of hell. He journeyed there to the very darkest regions, you know, and journeyed there. Yeah, and guess what? He rose. Yes, so that's why, you see, there's no way Satan, he doesn't have a boast. Jesus made a mess. I'm telling you, you see that thing, that by the resurrection of Jesus, you know, from the dead, you know, Satan forever is shamed, because what defeated Satan was not God, was a man that was raised, a man that became. You see that becoming, you see why we can talk about Christ's life series is because, you see that measure of life of Christ, Jesus embodied it in the days of his flesh. I mean, the whole history knows that there was a man called Jesus Christ that lived on earth. He became it, he died, he rose. Why we say he saved you? He did not only save us on earth, he's not only able to save us in hell, he's able to save us in heaven. So he rose and continued ministration so that we can come into the original plan of God, you know, for man, right from the very beginning. Because the plan of God for man was not actually the earth, was not actually the visible. God's plan was for man to be able to inherit him. That is on a period. And Jesus embodied that life. And that's why when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he's not saying that. He's saying it, you know, he's saying it what he knows, that Jesus can save a man. And I'm telling you, I'm sure you've heard many stories of how Jesus reached out to some souls that even we will not reach out to, you know. And he became our savior. And it is through him. It's through him. He's our gift. And I'm speaking to someone. I'm telling you that the love of God has come to you in our Lord Jesus. And I'm saying you should accept him as your Lord and Savior. I'm saying you should do what? Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Accept him. He wants to save you from hell. He doesn't just want to save you. He wants to give you an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, that what? Fadeth not away. What a love. A love that reaches and goes searching for souls. What a love. A love that breaks barriers. What a love. A love that goes nations, that goes to various tribes. It goes to the educated, to the uneducated. It goes to the far and to the near. Just so that you will come into the wonderful knowledge of him. What a love. And you know, to assess that love is just to believe. It's just to believe. It's to confess and believe. You know, some other people will ask you, you know, for things to get. He's just asking, you know what I'm asking for? You just confess and believe. Confess and believe in your heart. You know, confess that the Lord Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And confess that God raised him from the dead. And thou shalt be what?
Saved.
So salvation has come to you, my brothers and sisters. Salvation has come to you. May the Lord bless us and cause grace to abound towards us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at Akinwusinye Ministry off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.